From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. Maine Independent Senator Angus King says he will continue to support Republican efforts to pass a budget bill that would end the government shutdown. King says on the one hand, he's frustrated by the lack of any compromise that would extend tax credits for Americans who get health insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
But I finally concluded to stick with my yes vote because I feel the risk that the shutdown provides Donald Trump and Russell Vought and Stephen Miller with more power outweighs the trying to solve the health insurance problem.
King says he's been working with some Republicans on the issue and that some of them have reached out to the White House. After months of discussion, the Land Use Planning Commission voted today to require property owners in the unorganized territory to notify the commission if they're operating a short-term rental. The rules will go into effect later this year, and landowners will have 180 days to notify the commission of any existing short-term rental. Commission staff will also publish best practices materials for rental owners, renters, and neighbors. The commission began to look into the issue back in 2022 after an increase of short-term rentals in the unorganized territory, and later public comments raised concerns about noise and trash disposal. Maine is reducing the amount that households in crisis can receive each year for emergency heating fuel assistance under its Energy Crisis Intervention Program. This year, the program will provide up to $500 in one-time emergency fuel assistance. Last year, households could apply for multiple payments worth up to $800 a season. Maine Housing spokesperson Scott Thistle says the program changes year to year and that federal pandemic funding that allowed for increased benefits has dried up.
But now that we're back to kind of just our flatline funding in the program, they want to keep this as a true crisis, you know, an emergency for up to $500, allowing this one-time benefit.
To qualify, households must also be eligible for the Home Energy Assistance Program, known as LIHEAP. A state commission tasked with protecting hospitals in Maine met for the first time today. The group is examining state laws that regulate changes in hospital ownership and termination of services. During a public hearing, Jeff Austin of the Maine Hospital Association urged the commission to balance state oversight with the ability of hospitals to make decisions on which services to provide.
Having the state be able to tell us, no, you cannot terminate a service, despite your concerns about finance, health and quality and safety, ethics, and even legal liability. That's a harder one for us to consider.
This year, four maternity units closed at Maine hospitals. Nurses who spoke to the commission said they'd like the state to require public hearings before hospitals terminate services. The commission must submit a report to the legislature's Health Coverage, Insurance, and Financial Services Committee by December 10th. Two Mainers are among the 22 MacArthur Fellows announced today. Jeremy Frey of Eddington is an artist whose basket designs are founded in the Wabanaki tradition, as he explained last year on Maine Calling.
I'm speaking a language that they all spoke, we all spoke, and I'm just adding my own little flair to it. I don't think of it as a negative to improve upon, or to not even improve, to change tradition to suit what you're trying to say.
Also recognized by the MacArthur Foundation is Margaret Wickens Pierce of Rockland, a cartographer who, quote, revisualizes past landscapes and how Indigenous people live in relationship to the land. MacArthur Fellows are awarded a no-string-attached $800,000 cash prize in recognition of their creative talents. This summer, Maine's Department of Marine Resources surveyed commercial lobstermen on how they feel about and perceive their industry for the first time since 2008. Results indicate that most lobstermen are concerned more about economics and whale regulations than the lobster fishery itself. But as the department shares its findings at Lobster Zone Council meetings up and down the coast, the agency says it's hearing a lot of thoughts and feelings that didn't show up on paper. Nora Sachs has more.
Standing outside the Rockland Ferry Terminal before the Zone D Lobster Council meeting Tuesday night, DMR Commissioner Carl Wilson said the idea for the survey was born in the fallout of last winter. That's when Maine lobstermen vehemently rejected a proposal to increase the minimum legal size of lobsters by 1/16 of an inch, a measure aimed at conserving the population. Wilson says months of heated public meetings made it clear there's a pervasive feeling among fishermen.
That they weren't being heard, that you know their thoughts and ideas weren't being incorporated, or that they had things to say and they just wanted a platform to say that.
After that proposal was repealed, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission charged Maine with finding out which conservation measures its commercial fishermen might be willing to support.
If they were not in favor of this gauge increase, then what? The resource is changing. We're several years off our peak abundance and landings. So what are the ideas out there?
To learn more about what Maine's lobstermen are thinking and feeling, this summer, DMR attempted to survey all 4,700 or so commercial license holders. Around 1,400, or about 30%, responded. About half of those that did report that despite the recent declines in landings, they're fairly optimistic about the future of the industry. About 60% believe the resource itself is stable. But the survey also underscored their biggest concerns: rising costs for necessities like bait and fuel, and the looming possibility of federal protections for the endangered northern right whale that could impact the way they fish. At the Zone D meeting, many of the 20 or so lobstermen present who fish in the Midcoast, like Doug McLennan and Ryan Post, stressed how real those threats are and how intertwined.
The price of traps, everything, it's just economics is putting a really squeeze on everything. That's why you've got guys going hauling 800, you know, every trip, and they're trying to get all they can in before the guillotine gets dropped.
That's right. And the guillotine, for no reason, trying to get it done, for an absolute fraud.
Agency staff also tried to open up discussion on suggestions for protecting lobsters if future stock assessments indicate more conservation tools are needed. According to the statewide survey, the most popular option was decreasing the number of traps allowed per boat from a maximum of 800 to 600. But at the Zone D meeting, that idea got some lobstermen's hackles up, especially younger ones, which frustrated industry veteran Dave Cousins.
And you guys are all poo-pooing trap limits like it's the worst thing you've ever heard. But look at the fishery today. I'm 35% down from the last 2 or 3 years. The price is a dollar less. But if you cut your overhead by 25% and you catch the same amount of lobsters in a year, you're ahead of the game, not behind the game.
As DMR staff dove deeper into the data, the gulf between what their survey results show on paper versus what some Midcoast lobstermen actually think and feel about their industry right now continued to widen. One younger lobsterman admitted that his responses were impacted by a concern that they would one day be used against him, and cautioned agency staff to take these results with a grain of salt. Another council member had a more pointed suggestion.
You should have had one final question. Did you understand the survey when you filled it out? Overwhelmingly would have been, I do not know. I had a lot of guys that I looked at it. I was confused. In the trash.
Despite the skepticism and lively debate around the table, there was one thing most Zone D council members seemed to agree on: that given all the changes on the horizon, DMR should be doing these kinds of industry surveys much more often and not wait another 17 years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, protests and civil disobedience. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.